Hey, girl, hey. Welcome to Taste of Taylor, my weekly podcast. So here's the deal. I have a two-hour talk radio show, The Taylor Strecker Show, Monday through Friday that's available live from 8 to 10 a.m. EST, and then available for download to listen to whenever you want. But it's a subscription-based radio show. Hey, running a live radio show ain't cheap, honey. I do, however, realize that some people can't or simply don't want to pay for content. So here's a little bite of what I'm all about for you to nibble on. I hope you love it. Hey, girl, hey, welcome to another episode of Taste of Taylor, my weekly podcast that gives you a little snippet into what my radio show's actually like. Today, I'm so excited to have this person co-hosting with me. You may know him from a little show on Bravo called Summer House, Stephen McGee. Hey, boy, hey.
Hi.
Oh, my God, Stephen, I love you.
Oh, my God, thank you. I love you, too.
So, Stephen and I are great pals. We met through Stassi.
We met through Nastasia.
You know what's so funny? Kelly Catrone is a friend of mine, and she met Stassi for the first time. You want to meet her?
We'll do something.
Kelly's like my fairy godmother, who's like scary.
Oh my god!
You know,
she would be like I would let Kelly be my mom. Like,
oh, she's amazing. So I met Kelly when I worked at Cosmo Radio when we were doing backstage coverage for Cosmo Magazine Radio at Fashion Week, and she like took a liking to me. I don't know why. I must have been drunk. And then she started to come on the radio show, and we just stayed in touch over the years. But there was one Fashion Week where she's like, every Fashion Week, I mean, we see each other every now and then, but during Fashion Week, she invites me to shows, sits me front row. She tells me, don't go unless you're front row. And then she always has like these fabulous dinners afterwards, and she invites me. So one year, I took Stassi with me to a fashion show, because Stassi takes me to like all the fashion shows with her. And we show up at, you know, Angelo's on Mulberry? Which is like, it's in the Little Italy, and it's like a tourist trap. No, it's a tourist trap, but like, it's Kelly's favorite restaurant. So, a little side note, if you love Kelly Catrone and you go to Angelo's, you might see her there. But she invites
Being like, I stay away from there. Cut to me eating there
every single night. Right. So, she invited myself, Stassi, and my girlfriend at the time, Taylor, well, my girlfriend still. And we get there, and who's there? Jeannie Mai. Do you know Jeannie Mai from what is it? From The Real? Is that the show? You would know Jeannie. And then it's also Kelly Osbourne, because she's like besties with Kelly Catrone. Anyway, so quite the night.
Did you watch Kelly's Bravo show?
Kelly Catrone. It was called Kel on Earth.
Yes.
Yeah. So I actually did, and I remember back. Like, let's.
If you're gonna cry, take it outside.
Exactly. So my mom was visiting me like 10 years ago, before I even knew Kelly, watched obviously The Hills, watched City.
The City was I was Whitney Port.
Dude, the money that Kelly made, I won't go into specifics because I don't know if she would be cool with me saying this or not. She doesn't really give a shit about anything, but they made so much money per episode. It's like fucking bananas. For both, for The Hills and The
because
City.
She also allowed her business to be on there, too.
Well,
so
yes.
Not only was she a personality on there, but her business was there, so it was a lot.
Well, and don't forget that Kelly was also a judge on America's Next Top Model a bunch of seasons
in
a row.
How could you forget?
I could never forget, honey.
She was one of the best people on there. She's
absolutely
the reason that thing kept going.
Absolutely.
Not Tyra.
Oh, but they're friends. Don't say that. She's friends with Tyra.
Well, you can be friends with Tyra and still know that she's not the reason that show kept going.
So, you can still be friends with Tyra and be honest.
Right.
So,
That's
so
a true friend.
So Kelly, Kel on Earth, I remember I watched it, and there was like one day I was out in Union Square with my mom, and this woman who I'm like recognizing is on a bike with like a whole pack of people on bikes, and it was Kelly Catrone. I didn't know her at the time, and I go like this, yo, yo, Kelly Catrone. And she was like, ding, 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 with her bell. She was so cute, cool. Anyway.
That's such a Kelly Catrone thing. Like, I could see her just kind of looking over and not wanting to speak to you, but just
ding, ding, ding. But now she's like, oh my God, are you kidding me? She's my friend. She's a friend with me because she loves my mom. Obsessed
with
my mom and my aunt. But anyway, I love Kelly. So, yeah, so we were talking about.
I once applied for a job at People's Revolution.
No, you did not.
Yes.
Tell me everything.
Well, I didn't get the job.
Congratulations. We have to have you and Kelly on the Taylor Strecker show together, and you have to confront her with that. I will die.
I did not get the job.
I wonder why. She'll tell you why you didn't get the job straight up.
She probably never even saw my resume.
I bet you worked with Simone, right? Simone's like her right-hand person. Simone probably interviewed you.
I was just like,
oh, I'm going to text Simone later and be like, you didn't hire Stephen McGee. But no, but when Stassi and Kelly met, Kelly insisted on calling her Nastasia. That's what got me thinking about that. But anyway, yeah, you can meet Kel. Kel's the coolest.
Yeah, good.
She's like, She's goals AF. I love Kelly Catron. Okay, so you're on, obviously, Summer House. So, but you've been a fan of Bravo for a while, huh?
Oh, I've been watching Bravo for a long time. I remember.
What got you in? I remember what got me in. Let's do this. What got you into Bravo as a viewer? What got me in was Project Runway, like season maybe even two. It might not have been one. I was in college, and I remember I heard about the show on this channel called Bravo. Yeah, I'm old as fuck. And it wrote me in. And then I don't even know how I transitioned from there to The Housewives, but I remember like struggling through OC because Vicki Gunvalson was so annoying, but I just kept pushing through. And then, because I was like a huge MTV watcher, that was like when The Hills and Laguna Beach and all that shit was still on. So I definitely, but I guess maybe that like primed me. Like when I was younger, I was obsessed with The Real World. That's my foray into reality TV.
I still watch The Challenge.
No, you do.
I watched
not.
The premiere of Champs versus Stars last night. Like I still watch The Challenge. It's one of my guilty pleasures because it's the same people. It's still CT and Anissa.
Oh my God. Did you ever watch Road Rules?
Yes.
Loved Road Rules. So Road Rules, like Challenge was Real World versus Road Rules in the beginning. That was like the beginning of The Challenge, right? I actually don't watch The Challenge.
But then Road Rules had to go away.
Why? Because of all the driving?
It was kind of like, yeah, it was like, I think that it started getting into drinking and driving and it was getting like too risky for them.
Yep, too much liability. That would make sense. So, my foray into reality TV was definitely MTV with The Real World. Like my dream is to be on The Real World. Not anymore. And now my dream is to be on Bravo. Yeah. And Bravo really, they took the trophy away from MTV when it came to reality shows.
I may have gotten into Bravo too from Project Runway. I'm not sure. Sure, I can't really remember. And then it was those other shows because I didn't really get into The Housewives at the beginning. But I do remember watching the Vanderpump Rules premiere.
Wait. So how did you get into Vanderpump? So I got into Vanderpump because I was obsessed with The Housewives and specifically Beverly Hills. Brandi Glanville was on. Her husband had an affair. There was a girl that was a waitress at Sir who was the girl he had an affair with. That genius cross promotion.
I mean, I was watching Beverly Hills.
I didn't even mean to watch Vanderpump. I'm like, what am I watching?
I remember the episode watching it when it came on.
Me too.
Time.
And then I was like, oh, and I didn't want to watch it because I didn't like Sheena, and I to this day don't like Sheena. Sheena will forever be the mistress. Never forget that Sheena is a mistress.
Have a problem with it.
No, she does too. She hates when people reference it.
She hates it, but she'll do it again and again and again.
Oh, of course. But she doesn't. But she never wants to be called in her shit. That Sheena. Anyway, we'll get into a little bit more of that a little bit later on. But yeah, and that's how I watched Vanderpump. And I remember I wanted Vanderpump to fail because to that date. Which is so ironic now.
I didn't want to see servers be more successful than me. That's why I wanted it to fail.
You know what? I actually read an article recently about reality TV and the reason why it's so successful. And here's the reason why. Two reasons. Either you relate to it or it makes you feel better about yourself. That's why people watch reality TV, which I find fascinating. And it makes so much sense about why haters hate and all that stuff. Again, we'll get into it in just a little bit. But Vanderpump, I remember I didn't want to succeed because I remember loving that Bravo was older people because then I didn't feel like I was a failure if I wasn't on it. Does that make sense?
Right.
And so,
I still feel that way. I'm like, I'm on Bravo and I'm 28.
You should feel that way.
Look at Jax. He's 38.
But I remember they kept trying to do they did this Miami show, not Housewives. That was phenomenal. I don't know why that's not on the air and stupid poor Tomek is.
I loved Miami Housewives.
Me too.
I think it's probably because they were all mob or something.
Oh, they were the best. And they were always so late
Leah
for
Black,
everything.
I am obsessed with Leah Black.
But they tried to do this young and hot in Miami. Didn't work. Then they tried to do all these Texas
the
shows.
Dallas ones? Yeah,
yes. With Courtney Kerr. And that didn't work. But then they brought Courtney Kerr back again and it didn't work again. And then they brought her back on her own and it kind of worked. But then it didn't work.
It did not work.
But so in my mind, I was like, Bravo. And I remember at this point, I was on Cosmo Radio. So I was like, in
Dallas most eligible.
You got it. Oh, my God. Cringeworthy, but so good. But so good. I watched it. Oh. And there was another show. Maybe this was an auction, but there were these two sisters that both looked like Paris Hilton. And do you remember the show? And it was also set in the South. I think it might be mixing up my channels
now.
But
there was a show in Alabama for a time.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It didn't work.
I just started watching, too, Southern Charm.
No, it's so, wait. Is it so good? Okay, wait. Save that. So I loved Vanderpump, or I didn't like Vanderpump because I didn't want any young shows. My theory was on Bravo, because at that point I was a Bravo insider. I was like, no, the formula doesn't work with like younger cast. It has to be Housewives age, and that's just that. And then Vanderpump broke the rules, but I was rooting against it because I didn't like Sheena. And then also, and I really didn't like Stassi when I first started watching Vanderpump. When I interviewed her, I was going to go in on her.
Oh yeah,
and she then she disarmed me and she said, "I love your radio show," and I was like, "I love you."
Okay.
I love you. She came in with Jax the first time I interviewed them.
Oh my god,
isn't that crazy? This is like vintage Vanderpump I got in my archives.
Yeah.
But anyway, but now I'm so happy. It's so great. And it's actually, I think it's one of the best shows, you know, probably on Bravo, right?
It's probably one of the best shows that Bravo has ever made.
And then you guys were the second successful show of young people. Really?
Of
literally.
Young people. I don't even know how successful you could say, but we did get a second season.
Yes, that's
and
successful.
We're probably getting a third.
Yes,
so like,
honey, yes.
You know, I think.
Do you feel successful being on it?
Do I feel successful?
Yes.
No.
How about this? Okay, so do you think that...
I definitely felt more successful before I started doing the show. I mean, I waste so much time now, and, like, I'm wasting away people.
Wait. So do you look at the Vanderpump kids and say they're successful?
Yes.
Okay. Now, have you talked to any of them and asked them how they felt season two? Did they not feel successful?
They probably felt the same way. I mean, during season two, they were still servers. They were still all working.
They were
at the
for real working
all
at the restaurant.
The time,
yep.
Because they needed to make that money. And, you know, that's where, like, it's weird because on season two of the show, you know, the fame comes slowly now, and people are people are skeptical. We're being overwhelmed with all these reality shows. You know, Netflix is about to start producing reality TV.
I know.
Like,
I know.
We're being overwhelmed with all these shows. And
Bravo has a market corner, though. I really feel Bravo has this. I don't know what that special sauce is. Maybe it's their producers. Maybe it's like a literal formula that they use.
Yeah.
But they've got it, man. They've really got
the
market
well.
Corner.
The thing that's going to be interesting with Netflix producing the shows is they're still going to be delivered, you know, in a large batch where you can binge the show very
which
quickly.
Which is so.
So
addictive
then you're
going to
get way more into these reality shows where
but,
in Bravo, it takes longer time to get people hooked.
But the beauty is, the beauty of this, though, for you guys is when people finish the reality shows, they're going to be desperately missing them and needing to fill that like,
right.
you know, like crack dose. And you guys will be that crack
right.
that fulfills it.
We're a
or
great
maybe they'll
show to be able to binge.
Or maybe they'll binge you, like maybe they haven't seen it, so they'll binge season one. Like maybe it will turn more non-reality TV watchers into reality TV watchers. Speaking of Netflix, have you seen this horrible show? What is it called? It is a bunch of Asian kids living in Hawaii. And it's so bad.
No, but
they don't speak English. It's all subtitles, and it's. I mean, listen, I only gave it like 10 minutes, but it's so boring.
I haven't
it kind of. It's called like Something Beach, and my girlfriend was home recently, and she was watching with her mom, and she said it was the best show ever, and I was like, "Shut
what
up!"
What is it supposed to be?
Oh my! I'm
gonna
Google it right now.
Is it supposed to be like a Laguna Beach of these kids?
Well, that's what I thought it was. I was like, "Oh my god, it's gonna be like a Laguna Beach Netflix." Beach reality show.
So to cut back, so Southern Charm New Orleans. I did watch it. I don't
wait. So would you know. Also categorize? I have a question. So Southern Charm. So I would initially have put that into the same box as like let's say Vanderpump or Summer House, like young cast. But the truth is, it's its own entity because it's the only show that really heavily focuses around the guys.
It does
the guys are,
the guys.
Kind of the more stars
right.
than even the
and
girls.
On Southern Charm,
I love
a lot of guys on New Orleans as well.
So I love original Southern Charm with like Thomas Ravenel and Shep and all that
also,
stuff.
Also, their age, I mean,
they're
Thomas
old.
Ravenel's
he's
like
in his 50s.
Most of the house
not
types,
that 50 like, is old. I'm just saying,
but
like,
it's not. And Shep is like 38, you know. It's
he's
like,
he's hard pushing 40.
Like,
yeah, like Jack's pushing 40 is like the exception on that show.
Like,
right. The girl, no, this is what Southern Charm is. Watch, I bet the same formula for all of them. The girls are young, the guys are older.
Yeah.
Perpetuating a horrible social stereotype that we continue to, you know, idealize to this day. So, so give me the skinny on the other side of the Southern Charms. Because I love regular Southern Charm, but I didn't like the whatever.
Savannah.
I did not.
So, one of my producers worked on Savannah.
And
it's a completely new show. It's not new, all new cast, but they're like, it's revamped, it's redone, it's supposed to be amazing.
Uh-huh.
And then their new season's going to come out, I think, in the summer sometime. But Southern Charm New Orleans, it was not originally a Southern Charm. So when it was filmed and they kind of reworked it to turn it into a Southern Charm offshoot, I just felt like what I didn't like about it was everything. And this is what I don't like about our show is that for whatever reason, they're focused on making everything seem like, yes, well, my granddaddy came here in 1700 with the Louisiana Purchase, and we invented Sazerac. And, like, I mean, come on. Like, and this is my mansion. We have a three-story foyer. Like, do you like
your
this?
Voice is amazing. Like, oh,
like,
my God.
Mardi Gras is my favorite time of year because we eat the cakes and the beads. But, like, I don't need that stuff. Like,
so you're giving it on a scale of 1 to 10 or what?
I'd say it's probably after first episode, like a 6. I think it can come back, but, like, they got to get rid of, like, you don't need to try to impress me here. Like, I want to see train wrecks on these shows. That's why I watch them. That's why I'm on it.
Okay, wait. Like, what about the original Southern Charm? You give it on a scale of 1 to 10?
I would say that's like an 8.
A solid 8, yeah.
Like, I think it's like an 8. Like,
Savannah gets like a poop emoji.
Sometimes I watch it and I'm just like, what did I watch? Like, what happened?
What have I spent my life doing?
Did they do anything?
Yeah.
Like, did they even do anything besides eat a rib? Like, I mean, what did they do?
Cameron and her eating infuriate me. I'm like, girl, you do not look like that and eat the shit that you put in your body at the age that you're at.
I know. Like, it's infuriating. I just don't understand. Sometimes I feel like they're not doing anything, but that is like what you rush to do nothing down there. I mean,
that's true. Okay, so I found the Netflix show that's terrible. It's called Terrace House, and it's fucking awful.
Terrace House?
No, so Netflix, like, listen to this. This is from adweek.com. Oh, my God, Summer. I mean, this is the review. It says, Netflix's latest hit series is a boring, soothing Japanese reality show. It is. It's so boring, but for some reason, people are loving it.
Well, my
Steven.
Thing is I can't do subtitles.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't focus on TV. I like to just hear the voices.
I just have to hear
the
voices.
The only time that I watch it, like, I had to watch Southern Charm New Orleans because I didn't know who the people were. But I can watch a whole episode of Housewives just by hearing it.
No, but there's a lot of nonverbals and, like, side glances that you need to catch.
Some of them you do need to catch, but at least,
no, I watch all your shit. I watch Summer House, Vanderpump, all Housewives, Southern Charm, original, with, like, eyes focused, glasses on, yeah. Contact lenses
in. I watch it all, and that's
microscope
why
going, and then with my remote hand so I can pause and rewind. I need to focus.
After season one of Summer House, when people were like, oh, I did not like that show, I was like, just wait till they shove it down your throat. You'll love it, because that's what Bravo does. And, like, every time I'm like, I'm not watching this show. This is stupid. And then it re-airs 40 times, and I'm like, fine, I'll watch it.
And then you get addicted.
And then I'm like, oh, my God, I love that.
Okay, so you're friends with Vanderpump peeps.
Yeah.
Are you friends with anybody from Southern Charm? Because I know some Vanderpump people are friends with people from Southern Charm.
I love my Vanderpump people.
Who are your favorite Vanderpumpers?
Well, I mean, I love all of them. Like, I have to say my newest favorite is Brittany.
I knew you were going to say that.
I only just started getting to know Brittany very well.
I just met her last time she was here.
Yeah.
When we were at, the Standard.
Standard Grill, yeah.
First of all, she's spectacularly beautiful.
I love her so much. And the last time I was in LA, we went to Disneyland. Oh my gosh, we had so much fun.
She is sweet. Everything you see.
Genuinely nice.
Everything you see on TV with her is absolutely who she is.
I've never
obviously
heard her
Stassi's always
like
gonna be my favorite
thing.
Because she's my girl.
I love Stassi too.
I love Katie.
I love Stassi, Katie, Kristen. Even recently, I've started really liking Jax.
I can't get on board with that. But the thing that I like Brittany, so I feel like eventually I'm gonna start to like Jax.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna go out there for Stassi's birthday,
and
like in June.
Schwa.
Are you thinking of going out there for in June?
Maybe.
Okay.
I may go for the Tom Tom opening as well.
What is that?
You know, Tom and Tom's new bar.
Oh no, I know what it is. When is that?
Oh. Mid-May, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think there's an exact
date, I think I'm going to wait to go for Stassi's. I think that's going to be my first foray. You know, Stassi was really mad at me.
Usually our first weekend filming. That's the hard part.
Oh, shit. Stassi was like, legit mad that I was on Summer House before I was ever on. Well, the thing was, I was supposed to go to Katie Maloney's wedding, Maloney Schwartz, wedding, but I had just gotten a new boss at Sirius, and she was, like, riding me hard, and I felt like I was kind of in, like, one of those moments of, like, it's like ride or die. Like, she was like determining whether she's gonna keep the show or not. And so I had to, and I made it through only to get fired a year later. But I was like, I can't take all this time off of work. And also it was like really expensive and it was really hard to get to. And it was the middle of the week.
Yeah.
So I didn't go to the wedding. But I'm friends with also a couple of the producers that are on the show. And so they're like, you have to come on the show and be on the show. But I was also not camera ready.
Yeah.
I have to get camera ready.
Camera.
It's very scary being on camera, people.
Tell me the truth. Before you came to our 4th of July party, did Priv come blow you out?
No, and they should have. I'm a moron for not getting my hair and makeup
you
done.
Great.
Oh, thank you. I did my own hair and makeup. I wore a jean shirt because it was 90,000 degrees out, but I'm like, I'm not showing so these hot arms. Like Lala says, I was not summer body ready. In the summer. In the summer. I gave up. I mailed in. So I'm like.
I have a summer body. Unfortunately, it's just my normal body.
Oh, lucky you.
No, I mean that whatever they get is what they're getting. Not like I normally have a great body.
Oh. I thought you were like, I always have a summer body.
No,
you're
I
saying
mean,
the
look,
body we see is your body always.
That's my body.
Your body looks good to me.
All year, I just let
Honey,
it go.
Your body looks good to me.
Right.
It's looking real good.
I like to think, like, you know, if I, you know, tried, it may get too. I just, you know, want to keep the people.
You might
at
be
bay.
Too much of an Adonis. Yeah, you're going to terrify people. Gonna, it's like a superhero.
I don't want to intimidate people. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing too. I just want to be relatable.
I think my personality is so great that I want to make people feel comfortable around me. You know, I don't want to overshadow everyone.
I grew up with Kate Bosworth in my town, which totally fucked me up. And she also set me up with my first boyfriend, who was her first boyfriend or one of her first boyfriends in town. And she's obviously so gorgeous beyond. And anyway, and then she like kind of took my best friend when I left for private school. It was like a whole thing. But we were like cool when we graduated from high school, but we didn't go to the same high school. But anyway, I remember like I had like a sick obsession with her. Now that I'm a lesbian, I'm like, maybe I loved her. And and my dad was like, Taylor, like, you have a great personality. And so that's so when I'm feeling bad about my physical appearance, I'm like, I'm the personality person. I'm not the physical person. But then you meet people that have like both and you're like, fuck.
Right. I just assume that then no. If they have both outwardly, I'm like, yeah, but they're probably so unhappy. Their life's in disarray. Like, that's what I start doing. I'm like, I bet their parents don't love them. Like something. I'm like,
something horrible I'm happening like, to them.
Yeah, something's happening right now. They're probably going to, like, in financial trouble.
And then
something.
I buy a voodoo doll and, like, like will it to be. Yeah. Will it to be. Oh, my God. What the hell were we just talking about? Oh, you're
Bravo.
The people you love at Bravo. So, yeah.
I don't know any Southern charm people.
You don't?
I met Shep one time, but it was late at night.
Yeah, I met Shep one time, and it was late at night, and he is interesting. We'll just leave it at that, right? Yeah. Shep is like...
I mean, the fact that he even wakes up every day...
is a miracle.
I think, like, he is doing something. He is, you know, good for him.
Good for Shep. What's your favorite Housewives?
Oh, my gosh. It's a toss-up between
like picking your favorite baby,
Beverly
right?
Hills and New York, obviously.
Yeah, although I'm telling you, I got reinvested in Atlanta. Holy shit.
I like Atlanta, but I actually did not think this season was that great.
This past season? Season 9? Because, see, I was
season
behind.
Season 9
was
crazy.
Epic. Epic.
Yeah, and
but you
this
know what?
Season, I was kind of bored compared to last season.
Well, I knew that there was no way. I don't know if they can ever top season 9, Atlanta, because it was so epically horrible and slash amazing. But I do want to talk about something, and this actually leads me into going back to your season on Summer House and like shit that you went through. And I think that maybe you haven't had a chance to really speak to this, and I'm excited to be able to have a lot of people hear this and spread the truth. Okay,
tell the truth.
Hashtag truth. But I kind of felt like there was a little bit, I'm not gonna use the word anti-gay because obviously Andy Cohen is like the backbone of Bravo and he's gay, but like they are just a little too quick on Atlanta. Like the gay, the season 9 gay storyline was like, it was as a member of the LGBTQ community, I was
mean,
like,
Andy
everybody
has had to
settle.
Tell them, like, stop accusing people of being gay. Why do
like
you think
an insult.
That's an insult?
They say it like it's an insult, you know? It's like, oh, you're a lesbian. Are you a lesbian? You're gay. Your husband's gay. It's like, first of all, don't throw that around. Second of all, if someone's bisexual, that's their story to tell, you know? It's like, I just really feel like, I don't know. I feel like they really are towing the line on disrespectful in terms of like the rules that surround the LGBTQ community. Now, don't get me wrong,
right.
I love myself Atlanta and I found it very fascinating. But what I've also discovered, too, is Atlanta is more gay than any of the other housewives. They're like, I mean, Cynthia admitted to fooling around with girls. We now know Portia fools around with girls.
They all. I mean,
Candy does, but Candy doesn't deny it. I think Nene has in the past, hasn't she? Allegedly? I don't know. Kim Zolciak dated a girl.
Yep.
And they're all, and then they're always one being like, you're gay, you're
Eva
gay, you a lesbo,
bi.
You a lesbo. Eva's bi. Right. But then when they asked her about Missy Elliott, she was like, I'm not gay. Like, they get so offended.
I think that was probably more about Missy.
Than anything.
That I think that she probably was like, I can't go, you know, homegirl gets sued. She can't go dragging Missy on
TV.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying.
I think that was probably more about Missy than her reaction, the way her reaction was. I'm sure she would rather that be her story to
right.
put out there, but her reaction that was so like, we're not going to talk about this.
It was
probably more about Missy.
And you have inside information.
That.
You get like what that reaction actually meant. It just looked right. like guilt to me. But you're like, no, from like being on reality TV, you're like,
right.
I can't talk about that person.
When your friends know someone's name or anything like that,
you're
then
like, don't
it's
say
like,
the
they
name.
Bring it up. You're like,
don't say the name.
You get those bug eyes.
Don't say the name. but I will say at the same time, as much as I was like, guys, stop like throwing that like gay around like an insult. I will say I thought that the Housewives actually did at least for the lesbian community, they did an unintentional solid to us because I feel like they were all like, well, all of us. I mean, I'm looking at the table. I'm like, dude, like 75% of you have hooked up with girls.
Yeah, I bet Marlo has too.
Oh hell yeah, she gets paid for that shit, honey.
Hey,
allegedly. So, but I do think that you know, I think that I think. There could be more LGBTQ representation on Bravo, just saying. But I love that. I mean, that's the role that you play on Summer House. But speaking of that, so as the only gay person on the show, right? I feel like you got a bad edit is what I'm going to say this season, because I feel like as the gay person, you should be like protected under some sort of like LGBTQ like card holding certificate of like, why on God's green earth would you, the only gay person in that house, try to out somebody and take somebody's sexual, like being sexually abused or sexually assaulted and try to like out a sensitive story? I really hated that happened to you. And
especially with everything that I'm going through in my own life.
Coming out with your family.
Like,
and
I would like to think
it was
that
irresponsible.
People could maybe see that there must be more to the story.
Steven,
with that.
I'm going
to
tell you right now. And right now, if you watch a show and you don't know the full story, you're going to get it right here, right now. And Steven's going to tell it. But I feel like it was, and I told you this before and I'll say it to you again. I think it was irresponsible of Bravo to put you in that position. And listen, I love you, Bravo. You know I do. I'm a huge fan. But like, shame on you. Shame. Because that is like, you... I mean, you should not have ever... First of all, you shouldn't have put that in position even... I was going to say even if it was the truth. Fuck that. If you did it, you did it. But you didn't do it. And then you were like made to be like a bad member of the gay community, kind of, right?
I got very upset about it. And I have gotten a lot of shit.
I mean, know you have.
If you guys want to check my DMs, I can... They are nasty.
They're not very nice. You let me take a look.
And,
they're not very nice.
And I got a lot of shit for this. And it really... And I... had a lot of fights with production, and even at the reunion, I was so mad part of this segment was cut out of the reunion too. Because it negated
why won't they let you address
in
it?
The story.
Why won't they let you address it? They should be protecting you,
not
Carl.
You can apologize. You can apologize. I was like, yes, but if you told the whole story, I would not have to apologize.
Exactly.
If you had told what happened.
So let's go back in time. Let's go back in time. So here's what I'm going to tell you from a listener standpoint, because I'm going
to
speak for the audience, okay? Not as your friend Taylor that knows
you.
So what I see as an audience member is that you and Carl aren't getting along. Then I see that you tell a secret about Carl, that Carl said that the best head he ever got into his life was from a guy. Then I see Carl tell a story in his testimonial of how, yes, this is true, but this is my story to tell, and he starts to play the victim card super hard. And the victim card is, I was in a threesome, or what I thought was a threesome. I was hooking up with these two girls. I was under the influence of, like, you know, alcohol, whatever. I own that. But what was unbeknownst to me was that there was a gay guy in the room, and I thought I was receiving a fellatio from one of the girls, and then I looked up and it was a guy, and it was like a trick played on me, and I felt super violated and all these things. And yeah, to hear that story, that's a horrible story of violation. And so then he kind of says, like, you know, I told it to Steven in confidence, and I know that he was just looking out for Lauren because they're friends, but like, that's my story to tell, and no, I'm not gay. I was basically a victim of sexual assault. That's how the story played out to me. Now, and that
That is how he told the story.
And that would make, of course, you look like
on
a total shit
camera.
And would make me, if I didn't know you as an audience member, go, Steven, you're a part of the LGBTQ community. You should know better than this. Why would you tell someone's horrible story and then make it like salacious and like tell the house and like, that's like like he told you that in confidence. That's so horrible of you on like a friend level and then also on a gay, a member of the gay community
and
level.
People also came at Bravo for airing that because they were like, how could Bravo do this? How could they... And Bravo could do it because they knew it wasn't true.
Well, so Bravo looked bad. You look bad. Carl looks like a victim. Now, what's the true story, Steven?
So the truth is, we're going all the way back to Columbus Day 2016,
which is
was
2 years
right
ago.
After we had filmed season one.
A year ago.
Yeah, like a year and a half. So we had just finished filming season one. I was new friends with Carl and new friends with a lot of people. And we're there and...
So you're not filming at this moment in time.
We're not filming,
time.
No. This is in October.
You've just finished filming season one.
Yeah, we just wrapped season one. And it hasn't aired. I am out with a bunch of my friends.
Real
who
friends.
Are gay guys. Yeah, my real friends. And Carl is over.
Because you guys were becoming real friends.
Yeah. We were becoming real friends. Carl's out with us. We go out all night. You know, we go back to my apartment at like 4 a.m. There's a couple of us there. And then people trickle off. But we're talking. I had a cheese plate with, you know, prosciutto.
Oh, how hostess with
I'm
the mostest of
host.
You.
And yeah,
some charcuterie.
Just wanted to let people know, like, I'm a good host if I invite you over. and so we're there and, you know, we're just all talking and drinking and, you know, smoking out of the fire escape and whatever. And
having a ball.
And then, yeah, doing what people do. And then we're talking and then out of the blue, Carl just kind of goes, oh, yeah, you know, like, the best head I ever got in my life was from a guy.
Oh, my God.
We're just all kind of like.
So he says it in a room full of people.
Full of people that he had just
unprovoked.
Met, that he had just met that night. We weren't sitting there talking about nothing about sex or blowjobs or anything.
So you feel like he just said that to get attention.
He said it to get attention and get, you know, people being like, oh, like, and people like.
And like, and also, like does he want guys
there.
To flirt with
there's
him or is that
there,
what he's trying
so,
to do?
I don't know.
Is this, I'm going to ask you all the questions. Like, I'm going to dinosaur the shit out of you right now. Is this Carl's way of saying he's gay and exploring his gayness or bisexuality? In your opinion?
I did not even read into it that way at the time because I just thought it was so
thirsty.
Weird.
He was looking for attention. That's it. And also, did you feel like that's the truth? Like, do you think he's gay? Do you think he's bisexual or absolutely not?
I don't know. I don't think I know anything
about
Carl.
How about this? Do you think that he just wanted attention?
This will come later on. I'll come back to this, but I don't think I know one single thing about Carl.
How about this, though? Take an educated guess. Do you think he was just looking for attention? He wasn't trying to hook up with a guy that night.
He was looking for people to be talking. No,
he's not coming out of the closet.
It wasn't like anything was happening that night. It was very like...
It wasn't serious.
Yeah,
he was just saying something to get attention.
Out of the blue and just random. And we were all like, and then kind of changed the subject again. We didn't even have a conversation about it. It was like that statement and that was it.
Yep.
And then... So the next day I am talking to Lauren and I tell her, oh my gosh, this was so weird. This happened last night.
And you also told production.
And we talk about it. Yeah. I told people.
Listen,
because it was
I just
like
want to let everyone
joke.
Know.
I wasn't sitting here
you
talking.
You weren't like, oh my God, he came out to me. You were like, oh my God.
Carl's so
such
weird.
A liar. He makes up lies nonstop just to get attention. That's what you were saying.
It was so weird.
And also I want people to know too, and I just know this from having friends in reality TV, including you, that like, yeah, production and you guys are close. I mean, you spend a lot of hours together.
Yeah. My producer, Sam, is like as close to me. Like, she knows more about me than my family.
Exactly. And that's their job. Yeah. And part of your job, even when you're not shooting, is to give them information about, like, the life and the interactivity between you and the guys.
And it's not
I was
gossip.
Shooting a reality
it's
TV.
Just, they need to know.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's easier
well, it
to
is
talk.
Gossip, but whatever.
Well, it's easier to talk to them kind of, you know, I still check in with Sam, like, once a month or when I can.
She
because
has
it's
to keep tabs.
Easier to do that as you go along than to have to download her
exactly
on 6 months.
Exactly. So I mean, I shot a reality TV show. It never made it fucking anywhere, but I remember like the producers would always check in with me, and like I was doing it with a friend, and like we were kind of, you know, like her and I were like saying things back and forth, and like I was like, should I be talking to her directly about this, because I feel like they're kind of starting to stir shit up. But that's what they do. It's like it's commonplace. So
anyway, we talked about this and it just
and it was
that
nothing.
Was it. Yeah,
it was
we
a
didn't
nothing.
Have a conversation about sexuality.
It wasn't
like
you were saying
like
Carl's
like,
coming
oh gosh,
out, Carl's
so
gay.
Weird.
It wasn't anything like that.
And so I never talk about it again from there.
Okay.
Cut to going into the summer. Everyone can see on season two, I come in very salty.
Yeah.
Towards Carl.
You're
and
mad.
That's because just a few weeks prior,
before filming season
before
two,
before filming, I had found out a bunch of things that Carl had been lying about, and I found out that he had told somebody that we knew not to talk to me anymore because he was trying to keep his stories straight.
Oh, because he lies so much he can't keep his stories straight.
So this girl is telling me that Carl's telling her not to talk to me.
Excuse
you? It's very weird. I was like, okay, I cannot believe a single thing about this guy. We have a con artist on our show. It's so annoying.
Okay, so now let's also not forget, right? Well, every good reality show has a good liar. Jax. Apparently Carl.
Yeah, but he's not that good of a liar.
No, he's not. Well, neither is Jax.
I know every lie.
So, you tell Lauren and then production, like, right after when it happens, and then you never talk about it again.
Yeah.
But Lauren and Carl are hooking up.
Right.
And so she tells him, Steven said, the best head you ever got was from a guy. If I'm dating a guy who I think is straight, I'm going to ask that question too. Like, right. Are you bisexual? I need to know this. Are you gay? Like, I want to just, if there's nothing wrong with being gay, but if you're claiming to be straight and we're in a relationship, like, I need to know what your sexuality is.
Right.
And so she asks him and he says, Steven lied.
Yeah.
So then she gets mad at you.
Right. But none of this am I aware of. So
and none of this is airing on the show.
Yeah. Cut to middle of the summer when Lauren's sister Ashley comes to town and we're talking about Carl because now there's like huge fallout. We're talking about him. And Ashley tells me, well, you know that he told Lauren that you were lying because you were in love with him. And we go through. And,
oh, my God.
And that's really when I was like, are you?
In the gay community, that's like the most ridiculous thing anybody can ever say to. It's like, oh, yeah. You're being mean because you have a crush on me. It's like,
first of all,
whittle me down to nothing but just like a sexuality.
Right.
Number one, it's so ridiculous. Like, you can't be friends. And a big part of your storyline in season one,
was
I think,
being friends with Carl.
Was that you were a gay guy who has straight friends and you can hang with the straight boys and still be a gay guy, which I think is important. An important role that's not
and
really
not have to be
shown
like,
on TV.
Bro.
Yeah, and not be like fake. Like, you can be you. Like, I thought that was a very important relationship for them to show on television. I've really never seen anything like it
and
before.
And they totally ruined that this season.
Kind of.
They're at it. But,
yeah.
You know, I think that. So she's telling me all this, and I'm just so mad. I mean, you know, first of all, I do not. I mean, you probably get this all the time, too. Like, there is nothing attractive to me about dating someone who is, like, straight.
No.
Like, if someone tells me. Like, sure, I may think someone's hot or something, but then the second they're straight, and when I know that you're not into me, I'm not going to be into you.
Right. You know what also I think is an important thing?
Like,
that
I'm very lazy. I don't have time to turn people.
I think that exactly. I think that a lot of people think that gay people want to turn everybody. No, we don't. And I also think.
Because I know you'll turn back. when the clock strikes 12.
Cinderella.
Bitch, I lost a shoe, and then.
Cinderella. I also think that a lot of people in the straight community, not everyone, but I think a lot of people think that gay people are like 24/7 horny and like sexually like it's like so promiscuous, and that's not necessarily the case either. We're just people. There's some sluts that are straight and some sluts that are gay,
right.
And then there's some prudes that are straight
and
prudes
like
that are gay.
I'm a prude gay. That used to kind of be the case, maybe because
it used to be
you weren't having when. You know, homosexuality wasn't so accepted. Sure, you're not having that much sex, so you are kind of horny all the time. But
right.
Listen, I have a lot of sex.
Right.
I'm not horny, like.
Right.
Most
but
of
like,
the
don't
time
fear
because
us.
I can get it if
don't
I
fear
it.
Us. We're not like automatically attracted to you just because like you think
no.
you're good looking.
And chances are, even like on gay standards, you're not hot. Chances are you are not hot.
We're talking directly to you, Carl.
Like,
okay.
Carl's like a. He may be a 9 or a 10 on straight girls, but on gay standards, 6.
I love you. Okay, so now let's get back to like how this all came out on air and how, and honestly, it really was like the way, whether it was intentional production or the way the edit went or maybe Carl Jedi mind tricked everybody, but the way it came out kind of made it look like you were outing not only him as a potentially bisexual person, but even worse, as like a victim of sexual assault.
Right.
So, which is bad.
Cut to the middle of the summer. Ashley's telling me that Carl has told Lauren that I lied and that. But then later on, he did admit to Lauren that he. So Lauren has now had it cleared up.
Right.
But I was so mad because Lauren never said anything to me about it. But I did notice like a lag in our friendship over the winter. And that's now what I realized had caused it.
Carl.
So.
Lovely Carl.
I had to air out all my grievances against Carl already, and so it looks like in this scene, this bar scene, that I came in, you know, and, like, ordered a drink and then just, like...
Just decimated him.
Yeah, just destroyed him right away. Like, I just came in, blowjob gun loaded, and came in
blowjobs,
and
blowjobs, 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 yeah.
Like, what happened was is that there was an hour and a half long conversation.
Right.
Where I basically confronted and took down every single lie that he had told with text messages, emails. I had the evidence.
So you're saying...
It actually would have been a great thing for people to see.
So just to be clear, your blowjob story, you're telling the story to further support... Your claim that he is a liar, right? You're not saying
like him. Like
he's gay, he's bisexual, he's in the closet. You're saying he's a liar.
He does not care. He will tell any lie, no matter what.
So you don't believe that he got head from a guy?
I don't know if he did or not, but I don't care. That wasn't the point. I think I doubt he did. To be honest, I think whenever he said, and whether or not he got head from a guy to make the statement, the best head I ever got in my life. That's a stretch. So
yeah, and then he claims victim. But if you were assaulted, right. So like let's
and
say
he admits let's that, say, that is he admitted on the reunion
he
that
did.
That is the exact statement he told me
that the best head I ever got in my life was from a guy.
Right.
Okay. So guess what? Like, let's say hypothetically I was to be raped. Okay. You think I'm going to say the best sex I ever had in my life
even
was when
if it was
when
would
I was
never
assaulted?
Say that.
That's insane. So the fact that he would say it's the best head I ever got and then try to tell a story of like being victimized,
so,
he's a monster.
I went through this whole list of all these lies, you know.
Did he admit that the story about him being
the sky was blue, I would look up to make sure
it was actually blue
colors.
Right. So did he ever cop to the fact that he wasn't sexually assaulted, or is he still shopping that story around?
He is still giving that story, which
I
don't know.
I need to be clear. So he's saying he was sexually assaulted and that was the best head he ever received in his life.
Well, so here's the thing. Just to make it clear.
That's insulting to all sexual. No, that's insulting to all victims of sexual assault. I'm just saying.
Well, just to make it clear that I was only ever told the best head I ever got in my life was from a guy. The first time I ever heard this story
about the assault.
Of the threesome, whatever. I mean, he never called it sexual assault.
Well, that's what it is.
Yes, but the first time I ever heard the story was at the bar. If I had heard that story. One, and believed it, I would have never told. But if I had even heard that story being thrown around, I wouldn't have fucked with that. But, you know, he that's the first time I ever heard it. He pulls that out. And not to mention, I have listened to a couple podcasts that he's been on, and I have heard some discrepancies in the story.
Oh, shocking.
But,
well, guess what? When people lie,
you know,
their story changes.
I'm not going to say if it's true or false. I don't know. But I know that it's not always the same story.
So
he tells the story, and, you know, I knew in that moment that I was fucked.
Right.
And I just kind of, like, you know.
So what do you do when you realize it's almost
that
like
they're going to screw you?
It's almost like a game of chess, right? And it's like, I've lost the game. Stalemate, fuck.
Right.
Right.
Well, normally I'm two steps ahead.
Right.
But I've lost the game. And so the rest of the summer, you know, I never bring it up. I don't talk about it again. And then. You know, he kind of went on this, the producers give people advice, and he was having a very hard summer because nobody liked him already.
Yeah.
So they're kind of helping him on how to remedy it. So he goes on this victim train, and all of his interviews says, you know.
My mom came to visit. I'm a good guy now.
Oh,
yeah.
That was all planned. But, you know, he says he told me in confidence over and over and over.
Yeah, he
said
that.
He told me in confidence.
Has he copped to the fact that it wasn't in confidence?
He still said at the reunion that he thought it was in confidence, but that
in a room full of strangers,
people were around and things like that. I'm like, if
he's
you thought it
bullshit,
was
bullshit, man.
Like, I'm like, even if you thought it was to me, none of those people owed you any confidence. Like,
exactly,
they could have all told everybody. You're on TV, so you wouldn't be throwing that out there if you didn't want people to know. And
was it in confidence when he slept with Sheena? Just
no,
saying.
Because he told all of us.
Oh, so you have to keep confidence. I'm sure Sheena wanted that to be kept confident.
Sheena told people, too.
Oh, really? Oh, you were just throwing
Sheena
all the tea
told
out.
Her little crew.
Damn. Well, anyway.
I just didn't want it out.
Well, honey,
sorry.
You know I believe your story.
Yeah, so,
and I'm
know,
so happy you got to tell your story.
At the end of the day, it's just like, it's disappointing that they would, you know, kind of throw me under the bus, but I think that they know that I can come back from it.
Well, you are lovable. I love you very much.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, I'm hoping there's a season three. I don't see how there can't be a season three with this explosiveness.
I know. And I have some other. I mean, the one thing that's very weird, I mean, I like to call it a gift, but like, I don't know if things just come to me, like if like these little nuggets of truth. Mm-hmm. I have some more grenades to throw next season.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, honey, I'm here for all of those grenades.
Cheating scandals.
Oh, excuse you? Want to give us another little?
Interesting.
Okay, just give us teasers. Cheating scandals.
Well, there's only one group of people that could be cheating.
Oh, honey, I know. I know.
Okay. It's going to be very interesting.
It's going to be interesting to say, well, Stephen, thank you for joining me on my podcast. I love you very much. Let's go to lunch now and get drunk.
Yeah, perfect.
You guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Taste of Taylor. Make sure to follow Stephen on social media at Stephen McGee and be nice to him.
Or I will come back at you.
He actually claps back. He claps back.
And it's usually fun.
Also, make sure to follow me at Taylor Strecker. You get a brand new episode of Taste of Taylor every single Wednesday. So look forward to next week. And also, guys, don't forget, if you like what you hear here, you can actually get even more of it on my here, H-E-R-E. If you like what you H-E-A-R, H-E-R-E, here, then you can get more of it on my daily radio show, 2 hours long, Monday through Friday. It's called The Taylor Strecker Show. Go to taylorstrecker.com and you can subscribe and get hours and hours and hours of this amazingness.
It's so amazing.
Stephen hates coming on because it's too early.
I love coming. Like, honestly, if it wasn't coming here and seeing your shiny face, I would never get up this early.
But you mean shiny like in a good way, not like in a grease way, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm totally like, I got up at 8:35 this morning. And
now
I
you know why I look like such a fucking dirtbag all the time. I get up too early. Anyway, you should see me. I love you. You should see me at events. I'm like a different person.
I was so mad when I walked out because I forgot my sunglasses.
Ugh, the worst. I just call it sick from work when that happens.
Just to hide the bags under my eyes.
Just kidding. Okay, guys, that's it for us today on Taste of Taylor. And make sure to rate it, share it, subscribe to it, all the stuff you do on a podcast. And I will see you next Wednesday right here on Taste of Taylor. Bye. Hey, girl, hey, did you love this taste of me? Want more? Then make sure to go to taylorstrecker.com to subscribe to The Taylor Strecker Show for hours and hours of me entertaining your ass. Content with this nibble? Well, then I'll see you next Wednesday, and make sure to subscribe to The Taste of Taylor podcast and follow me on social media at Taylor Strecker.